Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boys.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the phone number. So, before Christmas, some of you will have heard, we took a phone call from a guy in a street in Plymouth called Chris, and Chris was not in great shape. Well, Chris is on the line now. Hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah, how are you? Yeah.
I'm all right. How are you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's been hard, and I did want to die at the time. But a new day, a new year, a new dawn, and despite more setbacks, my wife, ex-wife, getting engaged on Christmas Day. More worries about my daughter, whether she's going to take this new fella's name. But hey, I'm still here.
Well, gosh, that is a lot to process, isn't it? But you are still here, man, and that's the main thing. We've spoken a couple of times over the Christmas period. I don't want to, I don't want to pry too much. But are you physically all right? Because you did take a drugs overdose, and you told me it got very, very hairy for a few days.
It did. For 2 days I was out of it. I was incubated.
Yes, yeah, I always get it wrong. I said incubated
For a day and a half, 2 days in ICU, and then discharged to a normal ward, and then self discharged out of the hospital. I've been to see the doctor. The doctor's speeding up the local crisis team to get involved, but I'm down here in deep and darkest Cornwall, and there is no that the budgets on mental health are severely stretched, and I haven't had the phone call yet to give me any of that support. I've just got to take one day at a time. That's all I can do. I really don't look no further forward.
No.
Then when I go to sleep tonight, and if I wake up tomorrow, that's an extra day.
Yeah. You can't with so many things. You can't even plan a week ahead, 2 days ahead. You just got to get through at the moment. Just get through. You're right. Day at a time. All you do tonight is get your head on the pillow, and that's it. You can strike another day off. Well done.
Yep. I know you've been through some of this, Ian. So you know the roller coaster of emotions that I'm facing, and most of that's behind me now. My divorce has been and gone, and my ex-wife has moved on. Even though I find it difficult to let her go, it's 32 years I was married to her. And that's a lifetime and some. And from that side of it, that's very difficult to try and build a relationship or any sort of relationship with anyone else. And that in itself causes problems because my wife made this prophecy to me that. My ex-wife now, that I would always be a sad, lonely old man. And at the moment, it looks like it's going to come true. And
but that prophecy doesn't have to come true. There are... You're still... I mean, look, you're 50. So, yeah, listen, I'm 45. We're old, man. That bit's true, right? But things can change. And things can improve. But nothing changes unless something changes. Someone said that to me the other day in a meeting. Nothing changes unless something changes. I thought, well, a load of old crap. But I kept thinking about it. And it's true. What it means is everything is going to stay the same unless you do something different.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that different thing is that you need to do. The different thing I needed to do was to get out of the flat I was living in, stop wallowing. You know, I'm not suggesting you're wallowing, but this was me. Stop wallowing in the failure of my marriage. And start taking steps to create a home where I could feel happy, where I could bring my kids, start... I had to change some really basic things in my life stop me wanting to die. And I don't know what they are, but I just wondered if you had any ideas what the basic things were you needed to change.
I've done most of that. I've moved from London to South East Cornwall. I'm in a lovely place. I can look out the kitchen window. On one side, I've got fields with cows in. In the middle, I've got woods with deer in.
Oh.
And on the other side is the sea. So, you know, I could look out the window and I've got a panacea of loveliness.
Yeah.
I think really it's my 11-year-old daughter that's really sort of... my wife won't allow me any sort of access to her. And my biggest fear of all is that this man that my wife is now going to marry is going to be her dad, and I'm not going to be her dad anymore. And that's the biggest thing of all that really, really, really sort of worries me more than anything.
You told me that you got a card off of her this Christmas.
And to be honest, Ian, I know you've said to me, Don't worry about, you know, that's not going to happen. And but I just feel that is the way it's going to be, and that's why I think I said I to be honest, I don't remember much of the phone conversation I had with you back in December, but I just feel that without my daughter, everybody's saying, oh, she'll come to you when she's 18. But that's 7 years away. I couldn't possibly wait that long.
Here's the thing. She might come to you when she's 18. She might not come to you. She might come to you before then or after. She might not. You just don't know.
No. But that's the thing that really worries me. Her life is controlled by my ex-wife.
Well.
Who is evil.
Well, now, I understand why you're saying that. I understand. Of course, I understand why you're saying that, man. Of course, I do. But she isn't here to defend herself, and I feel a little uncomfortable. And without wanting to break any of the confidences of the stuff that you shared with me over Christmas, because that was private, that phone conversation.
I have no secrets. No, okay. You told me to go to AA. I don't believe I need to go to the AA. I haven't. I had a bottle of pop over New Year's and the fireworks, and that was it. So
okay. Well, that's fair. That's your call. That's fine, and that's your decision. I'm not judging you on any of that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, from some of the stuff that you told me, I can understand why your wife is pissed off with you and doesn't want to have any contact with you. I can understand that, but I can also understand why you, from what you told me, why you are ill, why you are depressed. I know the things that you saw at work.
Yeah.
The kind of, you know, sent you over the edge. They sent anybody over the edge.
On the table, so people know I know it's difficult to judge just on a phone call, but I'm quite happy to tell the people.
No, I know, but can I just say one thing, Chris? Just say one thing, right? I know exactly what I can say about my private life on the air that I'm comfortable with. Here's the thing. You missed this, and you were really surprised when I told you this, but you phoning us up became a huge, huge story. It was on the front page of The Star. I did an interview with New Zealand TV, all of this, New Zealand radio, all of this stuff. So I'm just going to warn you that this might get in the papers tomorrow, this phone call. So the things that I am skirting around, if I were you, I'd think really carefully about whether you want to say them on the radio or not, because then that goes in the public domain and people know things about you that actually they don't need to know about you.
Ian, I don't have any problem with that.
Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. Okay, I worked for London Underground for just over 14 years as a station supervisor on a busy West End station. I was witness to a person under a train. That person was around their mid-20s, early 30s, which is the age of my eldest son. I saw that person on the track, lying in front of the train, completely lifeless. I assisted with the carry. We had a carry sheet. That person's carried off the track and put into a room. I just stay there while the police search the body. And then the undertaker coming down a few hours later. And even, I'm not sure if I told you this, Ian, but even to the extent they put his lifeless body into a coffin and wheeled it to our emergency lift, and it was too tall to stand in the lift. So they had to put it in. It was too long to put in the lift, sorry. So they had to stand it on its head. And one of the undertakers made the joke was, "Oh, I hope you don't fall out."
Yeah.
And in my sort of thinking about it logically, obviously that's the way they dealt with that situation. But that's the first time I'd ever been involved in anything like that. And it had such a detrimental effect on me I just started drinking heavily. And it got to the stage where I was drinking a bottle of vodka a day, and I'm not proud of that fact, but that's what I did. I drank a bottle of vodka a day, and it was the only way to be able to deal with the whole situation that was in front of me. Now, my wife couldn't quite handle that because she had her own business to run. She runs a business from home, which involves children, so she thought I was a bit dodgy, and quite rightly so.
You can understand that. You don't want a drunk around kids.
No, of course.
You get that, don't you? Of course you do.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I got all that. But it was being shut away at a cabin at the end of the garden from 8 in the morning till probably 6 o'clock at night. And it was listening to music and, as I say, drinking a bottle of vodka, sleeping an awful lot. And that was my life for the best part of probably 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Until London Underground finally, in their wisdom, decided to dismiss me. That previously, I explained to you before, that involved going to a rehab, which I lasted 10 days at, and then I took an overdose. Spent a night in a hospital in Weston-super-Mare. Transferred back to Sidcup, where I spent another 2 months in hospital, and that's been my life ever since. And to be honest, I know I need help, but because, going back to what I said earlier, Cornwall Council is so severely strapped for cash that we're ordinarily in London, you are committed, what they call sections. And in London, I would have been sectioned months and months ago, years ago maybe. But in Cornwall, they don't do that. They send you home. They send their little home treatment team round for 3 days, and then you're left to get on with it. And you're still fighting your demons. And every day, I'm fighting my demons. And that's always going to be. I can't honestly see any way out of that other than suicide. I know it's a horrible thing to say, and it's not an easy thing to do. But at the time, it does feel easy.
But here's the thing: I know a few people whose one of their parents has committed suicide. You know that screws the kids up. You know that's a horrible legacy. That's a horrendous legacy to leave a kid.
I understand that, and everybody has said to me. And while I was in hospital in Plymouth for those 3 days in the ICU, a couple of the nurses said to me, "You do realise that you're going to screw your life." Your daughter's life up, and I really, it feels like me. It's a short-term pain for a long-term gain because I'm just going to be a drain on society. I'm going to be a drain on everybody.
But I know you can't hear this, but that's not true. You're not draining on anybody. You're not well. That's where you are at the moment. You're ill. You're as much of a drain as people with cancer are a drain. You know, it's not their fault.
No. Well, I just feel it is my fault.
I know you feel that, but I'm telling you, your head is lying to you about quite a few things. But that's definitely the biggest lie it's telling you at the moment.
Yeah.
No one is going to benefit from you dying. No one's going to benefit.
I just feel that's the only possible way out of all this.
Listen, it is a way. It is a way out. It is a way out. But trust me, man, it's the shittest way out. That isn't going to solve. That isn't going to solve.
No.
That isn't going to solve anything at all, and that's only going to make things worse for everybody who survives.
Yeah, okay.
So we need to think about what other options there are, because there are other... You all right?
Yeah. That was just my carer. She's pulling her hair out. It's a sad laugh.
Why is she pulling her hair out?
Because what I've put her through. Because she's been with me for the past 2.5 years, ever since I came to Cornwall. She's been with me, and I've attempted suicide on three occasions.
Can I ask you a question that's going to really annoy you?
No, you never annoy me, man.
No, I will. I will annoy you. This question's going to annoy you, but I'm going to ask it. All right, ready?
Yeah, go on.
And I need a really honest answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much have you had to drink today?
I've had nothing today.
Today?
Today.
Nothing?
Nothing.
How much did you have yesterday?
Nothing.
Okay. How much did you have on Boxing Day when I spoke to you?
I think on Boxing Day after Christmas, I think I'd had a few tinnies.
You told me you'd had a box of wine.
Well, all right, okay. Perhaps I had a box of wine. I don't remember what happened today, yesterday, or tomorrow. But Ian, you seem.
This is where we disagree on, right? And this is where we did. Where I say I know it's going to make you angry because we did have a little falling out over this.
We did, and I was most upset about that.
Well, I was upset, but it's cool. I'm not upset. I mean, it's cool. Here's where we disagree, and this is where we had a falling out. Is I don't know if you're an alcoholic or not. I don't know, right? But I know that the drink... This is the one... All right, let me ask the question that you didn't answer on the text, the few texts I sent you. Kept ignoring it, right, and having a pop, which I don't mind you having a pop at me. It's cool.
Yeah.
But when you drink, does it make things better or does it make things worse? And be honest.
It makes things better.
No, how does it... Oh! How does it make things better?
It just does.
Tell me how you being drunk and you getting into slagging matches with the person who I can hear in the background and you doing the things that you've told me that you do, how does that make things better?
Because it numbs the pain, Ian. It numbs the pain. And that's what I was doing when I was drinking after the incident. it numbs the pain.
Here's the thing. It doesn't numb the pain, man. It gives you a different kind of pain.
Okay. Well, I'll accept that.
Good.
But to me...
Good.
It feels like it's numbing the pain.
Well, it's not. It's making things worse, and it's giving you a... Here's the thing. You're never going to see your 11-year-old daughter while you're drinking. That's a fact. You might not see her when you're not drinking, but you stand a damn better chance of seeing her when you're sober than when you've been drinking.
No, I'm not going to see my daughter if I carry on attempting to take my own life.
That's another thing, yeah. That's another thing to put on the list. Things that will make it almost impossible for you to see your daughter. Let's do a list. Trying to take your life.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Those are two quite big ones. So how about if we stopped doing those two things? Wouldn't that help?
Well, drinking isn't a problem. Drinking isn't a problem. I can stop drinking. No, I know you don't believe that.
I don't believe it.
But I can.
That's what I used to say.
Well, okay. Perhaps there's a fundamental difference between you and I.
Maybe.
That I can. I don't need to drink. If I'm feeling really sad.
Stop then. Stop drinking then. Stop drinking. If you don't need to drink, stop drinking. Prove it. Stop drinking for 6 months.
I have. I've stopped drinking.
When?
I had the last drink I had, which was, I think, New Year's Eve, when we cracked open
the
bottle.
Dude, that was 3 days ago! That was 3 days ago.
Yeah,
what happens the next time?
Stopping drinking, Ian. That's stopping drinking.
Yeah, but okay. Well, what happens the next time you get you hear some bad news about your family, or you get a text from me that you don't like, or you know a bus doesn't stop for you? What happens then?
I've got to not do that. And I believe I have some inner core strongness. The outside's jelly. But inside there is the person I used to be 4 years ago, when I used to be able to deal with anything that was thrown in front of me.
Yeah, that person is there. That person is in there.
An escalator, somebody, there was a signal failure. Anything
Dude,
happened.
Chris, that person is there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you. That person is in there.
Yeah, that's right. But right inside, Ian, the outside is now jelly.
Right, OK. Well, then how do we get that inner person out?
I don't know, and that's the.
I know the start, but I tell you it, and you get angry with me.
I won't get angry with you.
The start is you've got to stop drinking, and you've got to accept that you've got a drink problem.
As I've said, Ian, listen, I have the last drink I had was on New Year's Eve,
3 days ago. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Okay,
all right.
So I have no intention as I lay in this bed here now talking to you. I have no intention of drinking anymore.
Okay. All right, good. All right, well, I hope that... I pray for your sake that's true.
And that's it. But I can't say I'm not going to try and take my life again.
Okay. Well, that's a different thing.
Because that seems to be my default.
Hey, well, you know every time you try to take your life?
Yeah.
Had you been drinking then?
No. And
so you did it completely stone cold sober each time.
Absolutely.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I have very very vague memories of that night in December.
Yeah.
But I'm 99% sure I hadn't had a drink then either.
Well, hang on a minute. And I don't want to keep pushing the point because you know there are other issues at stake. But I'm 100% sure I didn't have a drink yesterday. I'm 100% sure I didn't have a drink the night that you tried to. I'm 100% sure. I've never been 99% sure.
Well,
I would know.
You
went through a lot. I know, and I'm not having a go at you. I just I want you to stay alive, and I want you to be happy, and I want you to have everything that you are entitled to. But I know, and again, I'm specifically not saying two things. And I actually, do you know what? I think it's for your own good if you don't mention these two things. But I know two specific things that you have done whilst pissed that indicate to me that drinking is a problem and drinking makes you angry.
It does make me angry, yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's not good.
No, it's not good.
And I won't mention I know the two things.
No, yeah, don't mention it. Because we know. I know it. You know it. And we're the only people that need to know. Everyone else can get stuffed.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. And no, yes, and you're right.
All right.
And that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Why I don't want to drink anymore.
Good. All right. Well, let's forget the drink thing now, for now, because I don't want to keep badgering you, because I know it annoys you, and I'm kind of glad it annoys
you. Man, you're not annoying me. You've been a good friend to me, and I took it when you gave me your personal number that I could actually... You don't know me. I know you other than on the radio station, but you were a friend I could talk to when I'm feeling really desperate. I can ring and say, Ian, just give me some advice, please.
Well, I don't know about advice, but I can certainly share my experience, and I can certainly possibly make a few suggestions. I wouldn't call it advice because I'm not qualified.
No,
but I can share my experiences where there's been a similarity in terms of struggling. And I can make some suggestions, and that is all it will ever be. I will never tell you what to do.
No, I appreciate that.
I will never insist you do something. And also as well, here's the thing I have to say, Chris.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not going to take your call. When I spoke to you on Christmas Eve, Boxing Day, I was trying to fix everything for you, and I did speak to someone from Alcoholics Anonymous saying I'm speaking to this bloke and I'm in recovery and da la la. And he said to me, he said, dude, you can't fix him. You can't fix him. Now, whether it's alcohol or mental health or whatever, he said, you can't fix him. You can be there for him, but you are powerless over him, you. He has to make his own decisions. And that's why that night I kind of backed away slightly after I've been trying to find you a hotel to get out of what I thought was a toxic environment and tried to find you somewhere to stay. Here's the thing. You were drunk. I was trying to find you a hotel. The only place I could find was a room above a pub. Imagine the carnage. The carnage. And also, I've got to protect myself a little bit because it was the first... I'd only just got my kids home and I hadn't seen my kids. And so I... So listen, there will be times when I won't answer your phone call or if... You know, I feel that you're being aggressive, or you know, I feel that there is a danger of me getting sucked into something that's not healthy for me. I'm going to back away a little bit. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean I want you to go and kill yourself. Doesn't mean I want you to drink. It just means I'm protecting myself, and I know you appreciate that.
Listen, I understand that. I fully understand that. But what I need is really just somebody that doesn't know me. Somebody that's not a close friend to me, because I've got friends that are very close to me and they're giving me all sorts of advice, but I need somebody who doesn't know me, and somebody I don't know that well other than on the radio station, as much as everybody else knows them. You can, I know you can't give me advice as such, but you can give me some suggestions how I can deal with this and things like that, and that would be invaluable to me.
Right. Don't die. That's my suggestion tonight.
Thanks,
not die.
No.
Chris, take care, brother. It's nice to speak to you. We will speak again soon, okay?
Yeah, we will do. Thanks,
hang in there, man. Take care. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Bye. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
I think so. I wanted to say to Chris, and it doesn't. Hopefully, he's still listening. Thanks for your tweet. The reason I didn't respond to it, I don't want to unleash the press on you, and I think that's why we've been careful about how much information.
I was
out.
GMB, Good Morning Britain, phoned me up. He said we'd love to get you on the show to talk about that phone call, and I said, it's something I'd consider, and we'd love it if you could get Chris on with you. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask a guy. This is when I don't think I'd spoken to him at that point. I'm not going to ask a guy that's come on Good Morning Britain for a 6-minute feature. I'm not going to do that. But thanks for asking. You know, could you give us his number? I'm not going to give you his number. No, no, no. I'm not going to do that. And guys tried to kill himself. I'm going to protect him a little bit if I can.
Yeah.
Ollie's been waiting for ages. Ollie, stay there. We're going to do a delicious clunky gear change. Don't you worry. That's my job, not yours. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.